Sportsnet 590.
Yeah, it happened. Fan Morning Show. Frank Gunning, Sam McKee. Thoughts?
I normally like a big intro, a big the thaw of contract negotiations. There's no
it's
time for that
awful
today.
Song.
It is tough.
Terrible.
I was very happy
terrible
when the guys did it.
Sorry,
you're out.
Gosh.
You're out, eh?
Yeah, terrible.
Okay. It's for the pod listeners. It's the Austin Matthews hit him with the four that came out
really
after he
song.
Did the exact thing there.
It was good for like 1 minute.
Yep. How fun was the time between Austin Matthews' tweet and contract details coming out? That was the best time, right?
So we're not going to talk about Evan Bouchard's finalizing his contract?
I actually wanted to lead with Lafreniere.
Lafreniere agreed to a new deal?
Shohei, starting with? His arm's falling off and he's never going to pitch again? There's a lot going on.
Daniele with an incredible, just detailed
lineup. I want you to read the headlines because it's like, again, we love sports news. If the gods could have spread it out a hair,
so
would have been great.
This is from producer Daniele. Yesterday, Maple Leafs extend Matthews. Angels Ohtani has torn UCL. Ew, that seems bad. Orioles Flaherty scratched from start. Oilers Bouchard finalizing extension. And Rangers Lafreniere agree to new deal.
It's a lot going on. All of those would have been stories that I would have blown up and been like, I'll dive in 10 minutes into this.
I would have taken one of those the Tuesday after Lacombe, buddy.
A Lafreniere bridge? Oh, that would have been like manna from heaven, the rain coming down.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. For me personally...
It's the first time I've ever come in here in this summer.
Yeah.
And actually had coherent thoughts before the show.
Okay. Do you want to share any of them with us?
No, like the fact that I could speak before the show, I thought was a pretty remarkable thing.
I'm pretty proud of you. We were actually having a Brazilian soccer conversation before the show started. I was able to pull which team Pele played for in Brazil. I'm really proud of myself on that one. And I'm really proud of you. But I guess the question we keep coming back to is how, it seems super patronizing. I'm just using it because I've already said the word. How proud should we be of Brad Treliving? This is the first, you can say what you will about all the one-year deals that he handed out at UFA. I probably overplayed how much I disliked them at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I think some people overplayed how much they do like them. They're one-year deals. I hope they work out really well. This is the first big swing he has made as Leafs GM, and I realized he didn't have any other option. You know, the idea of Matthews wanting to be here and the Leafs trading him is really kind of a non-starter, but this is the first big test for him. How did he do?
It's complicated.
It is. It really
it's
is.
Very complicated.
You can't sit here and just talk about this in a vacuum. I think that's fair to say.
It's almost as though we have 3 hours to dissect this because we may need it.
With great friends like Nick Kiprios and Luke Fox.
Please text in 590-590 and give us your thoughts because I love your thoughts as well. As you know, I'm a big fan of listener thoughts. The first thing that has to be said is that one of the best players in the NHL is under contract for the Toronto Maple Leafs for 5 more seasons.
Attaboy.
Which is a very positive thing for the Toronto Maple Leafs and their fans. There is no question that getting Austin Matthews to sign on the dotted line for his second contract is a feather in the cap of all Leaf fans. Because I think there's a ton of people and, I think it's not just fans of other teams, but other media members, people from other market, who their favorite stupid joke has been over the past however many years.
Yep.
Well, I guess basically since he signed the 5-year little, have your cake and eat it too contract with Kyle Dubas, that he was going to be leaving and that he was going to be here for 5 years and he was going to go play for the Coyotes, which has never made sense. Has literally never made sense. But like the Kings or whatever, one of these teams. One of these teams has always been thrown into the ring of that. So I think it's a feather in the cap of Leaf fans that you have built enough here as, you didn't build it, unfortunately. A guy who's in a wet pit right now, you didn't build it. But you're the fan of a team that built a good enough foundation that Austin Matthews was willing to commit the prime years of his career to you. I think the flip side of this
yep.
is that I've been thinking about this nonstop, and I was really...
What do you think I've been doing?
I was thinking that the four-year thing was kind of... When I first saw the number, it jarred me, Gutter.
Yeah.
It jarred me big time that the flip side of the conversation about it's a feather in his cap, like, I would hope he signs that contract.
Yeah.
That is the greatest contract in hockey history. You get to not only be the highest paid guy in the league, AAV,
yep.
right?
Yep.
You middle it so that you're under contract for four more years. You hit UFA at age 30.
For presumably the eight-year banger then.
Much, much higher cap at that point.
Yep.
You've gotten to eat your cake. No, so what is it? Have your cake and eat it too. Which I've never get.
He's just slopping around in cake.
Okay, so I don't understand that saying. I've said it twice now, yeah. and I always think about it, but it's like, why wouldn't you get to eat your cake if you have it?
I don't know. Maybe some people
you
are just
get to look at it?
There's pretty cakes. But.
I guess it's like cake boss or
yeah,
whatever.
There you go. Yeah.
So I don't love the fact that the Toronto Maple Leafs are the ones
mm-hmm.
to be on the cutting edge of contract negotiations and the ones that have to like reinvent the wheel here.
Yep.
That's the part that frustrates me is that of all the superstars that have been all across the league for, you know, this era
cap
of hockey,
era. Yep.
They all do eight.
You know? Everybody does.
And I saw a tweet yesterday, I forget who it was from, that the only contracts that haven't been the max term.
Yeah, it was Drew Livingston was one of Daniel's
yes.
guys, yeah.
Who hates the Leafs.
Yeah.
He's a guy yeah. always hating the Leafs, and I played golf with him once. I know the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's always hating on the Leafs, and he's a clickbait guy yeah. with the Leafs, but he's right. The only guys to not sign for the max term for an AAV over $10 million, it's Austin Matthews twice and Mitch Marner.
Yep.
So that rubs me the wrong way, and I'd be lying if it doesn't. So that's where I'm at, Gunnar. I'll let you get in here.
That's exactly where I fall. I think that this is the only thing in my life, I guess I look at this way, that I'm just looking at the positives.
Whoa.
He signed.
Yes.
4 years.
Mm-hmm.
There is no such thing as a number with this guy that would have been crippling to you. But it's not 14. It's not 15. It's not some ungodly number. Mm-hmm. And I think that all you nailed it off the top. This guy is presuming this team ever wins something. And I know they won a round, but come on, let's be real. A real live run that makes us feel hope and things, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Presuming that happens, and boy, is that a big presumption.
A monster one. Yeah.
But that's the whole point of having this guy here is to do that. And this contract is going to give you every opportunity to do that. I'll add one other thing in on the having your cake and eating it too. The idea of Austin Matthews having a full no move, no one's going to get worked up about that. But this is also what he gets everything of. Did you see the breakdown of it?
It's all signing bonus.
It's all signing bonus. Yeah. So here's his base salary in the 4 years of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
$775,000 for the first 2 years, $900,000 for the last, and then it is over $10 million in bonuses in every other year. They're kind of staggered for different years there. And I don't begrudge him that. I wish the Leafs would pay every guy like that if that's how they want it and that's how it's structured. Because, again, it's not my money. Go cut him a check on September 1 or whenever the league year starts. I guess it'll be July 1st. There is nothing that he could have asked for that he didn't get. The other part of this as well is, what do we always talk about? We get so bogged down in the number. 12-6, 13-2-5. But what's the number these guys are all working around? They're throwing around numbers, but the agent, and when we look at it, and with the teams, they look at percentage of cap.
Mm-hmm.
And he falls between where McDavid finished up at 16.7 and where McInnes finished up at 15.27. Matthews is smack dab in the middle of those two guys. But what did both of those guys do, McKee? They took eight-year deals.
Yeah.
It wasn't a four-year one. And that is the thing that I don't know how you cannot be frustrated by that.
Yeah.
I want to be clear. This is a great day, or yesterday was, I guess, and we're going to bask
today.
In it today. Still today,
yeah.
A great day for the Toronto Maple Leafs. A wonderful day for Leafs Nation.
Mm-hmm.
But in a sport where the cap, let's be honest, it's kind of all that matters. You can go build a good hockey team, but if you can't put the pieces or fit them together under the cap, it is all that matters. If you don't have some stroke of injury luck at the trade deadline that allows you to put a guy on LTIR and go out and get some other piece, that is oftentimes the defining factor for a team that can go on a bit of a run or add a piece to it. So you can't just gloss over the cap. all that this does is set him up for the exact expectations we've always had of him. There was never going to be, you know, Matthews signing this deal. It was always, okay, great, go perform. And now that's exactly where we're at. The season last year that was the floor that we all talked about what a bad year it was, still finished with 40 goals. And if that's going to be the floor of this deal, it's worth it. But we don't have to like the number, and we definitely don't have to like the term. That's where I fall on it.
So last year he scores 40, like you said. And like, if he looks like he did for the majority of last season, yep. And I don't really care about the number 40 because I guess you can't say you don't care about the number 40, but I think, you know, I live in perception. I'm a Leaf fan. Mm-hmm. I'm surrounded by Leaf fans during the season. Like 85% of the conversations I have with all my buddies is about the Leafs, as you know that. I think the amount of pressure he just put on himself by signing a shorter-term contract is much higher than he would have if he signed an 8-year contract. Like, I think if he has a slow season like he did in a lot of last year.
Yeah, for sure.
Like you said, he got to 40 goals, but it wasn't always pretty. We had conversations about how Marner was a better player on the team, which was true for a lot of the year, right? Which is, I mean, we're having Kipper on at 7, which we're going to have a conversation about Marner. I can guarantee you that, because that's going to come up.
Yep.
But I think the perception of this guy, and this is something that I mentioned before this signed, and I've been talking about this all summer. Basically, every time we get a show together, it's like, well, let's do a 25-minute conversation about nothing on this. I do think the extremely high approval rating of Austin Matthews in the city could start to turn a little bit. That, oh, you're the guy who took the highest AAV in NHL history but couldn't give us the full 8 years. Now you're not performing to the level of what you're expected. Like, I think it's a little different last year where he'd had a Hart Trophy. He was banged up. Like, there's all these things that, you know, contributed to the fact that he wasn't as good as he was in years past last year. But if he has another year similar to last year, I think those whispers will start to become, you know, you'll be stepping outside the library.
That's
you'll
fair.
You know when you went into a library and you talk quiet, and then you step out and you start getting a little louder because you're like, oh, I can talk loud again.
This will shock you. I did not spend a lot of time in libraries.
Oh, buddy, I was a little bookworm. You know, I'm lying to your face. I was never in a library. But, you know, the times I was,
what you mean.
I always remember walking out and be like, oh, I can talk loud again. I think the people in this city, the perception of him, we'll start to flip a little bit, and people will be a little bit sour at the fact that he got it all.
Yep.
And I think, I mean, this is a bigger sports thing, but like, you know, it's like 13.25 for 8 years. You're not going to be rich enough. Like, you have to get to UFA to be the richest guy ever. Like, this has been one of my hobby horses all summer, and this contract hasn't changed that. Like, I do not like the perception of it.
I think now, I realize we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can be upset about many different things at any given time. I think that if you just look at the roadmap of what the Leafs look like over the next 2 to 3 years, that there's going to be a lot of noise about a lot of other things. And I don't know that Matthews is going to be the one wearing it, because I genuinely believe in my heart of hearts that that's kind of the floor. Like, it's entirely possible he has another year like that he had last year, and it's going to finish with his 40 plus goals. Yeah, and there's just going to be the number there. And then he has the playoffs.
Moment.
But then he has the playoffs that he has. I just think you look at next year.
Score in the
the last round, and we did kill him for it. But what do we do with the first round? Talk about how great he was. We're going to spend all the conversations we had about Matthews all year long. We're going to go into camp. We're going to have this Matthews conversation now, but they've just now switched to Nylander and Marner. Mm-hmm. Like, we're just now into that. Once the Marner contract hits, you know how this fan base is. There's even people who say, oh, I love them both, there's a delineating line. You're in one camp or the other. You just are. So the second that Marner contract hit, it instantly becomes compare and contrast. If Mitch Marner, and I cannot believe we're here, but just talking about the perception, if Mitch Marner signs an 8-year deal, then I think you're really looking at a sea change.
Guess how many years he's going to be signing for?
5 or 6.
The end of Matthews' contract.
Right. So
I think it'll probably be a 4-year deal again.
So that's why I say that there's going to be elsewhere to put Iyer to. I think if you had Nylander and Marner come in with, you know, you're not going to be great team friendly deals, but like fair deals with max term that you feel good about, then I think that shifts to Matthews. But because that's not going to happen with any of these other guys, I don't know that he's going to be the one to kind of wear the fulcrum of it at all times.
So can we talk about what this means for Willie now, or do you want to keep going here?
I think I've like said what I have to say on Matthews here. Okay. Super Cole's notes. We both like it. We just wish it was for 8 years. Pretty simple there.
I would say I am accepting of it.
Accepting.
Don't like it.
Okay.
Don't like it. I like the fact that he's here.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of Leaf fans on Twitter that I've seen and people in my life talking to me about how you've now got him under contract for 9 years at whatever the average AAV is.
Yeah, I don't have time for that.
I don't think that's a good argument.
No, it's not. It's just disingenuous because him making what he made in a time when the cap was lower versus what he's making now when the cap's higher doesn't help you. So even I, the biggest, that contract didn't kill him. Believe me, guy, even I have no time for that argument.
So I find the timing of this contract fascinating. Like, I don't think...
Not an accident, right? Right? Right?
So, Willie Nylander sits down with our very own Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick. And I'm not sure if you listened to the clip. We don't need to go through it. I think most people have heard
shock
it.
You. I've listened to it a few times.
And massive kudos to Elliot Friedman for pushing Willie and asking every question that every guy and every woman in this city wanted to hear, or asked.
Mm-hmm.
Every question that we've talked about on the radio for 3 months, things that we have said to each other multiple times, he asked those very questions, and I can't give Elliot Friedman enough kudos for how good a job he did just pushing him. Because, listen, folks, you think that's easy? Like, you're like, oh, why don't they ask the tough questions? Yeah. To sit down in front of an NHLer and look him in the eye and ask those questions is not an easy thing to do.
Well, and I just pick up on that, and then we can move on to the actual point, because I know nobody needs us to defend Elliot Friedman for 15 minutes, but some guy sitting in his car going, I'd do it. Yeah, you don't ever have to do it again. No, that's the difference, that's right?
You don't have to look at him again.
Exactly.
The guy in the wet pit doesn't have to look at him again.
Oh, that guy in the wet pit's got some things to say about Bill Nylander, let me tell you.
So... he gives the answer that we've all heard now.
Yep.
You know, the most unenthusiastic, I love it here, want to be here long term. Like, I know he's an unenthusiastic guy, but...
This is perception of... I don't read into it that way, but go ahead. What do you want him to say? Stand up and give a Braveheart speech? Like, no, that's Willie. That's how he says everything.
I think they see this. Mm-hmm. They hear him talk about it.
Yeah.
They had this contract with Matthews, I think, probably done for a little while here.
Yep.
And, you know, we'll have Real Kipper. We did a Real Kipper Unborn last night. And,
I like you calling him Real Kipper.
And we're having Nick Kyprios on, and he'll talk more about these details. But apparently the Leafs 1-5, Matthews 1-3, they met in the middle. They figured it out, which I appreciate. But him saying
this. Should have asked for more than five, maybe.
Him saying this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, William Mueller saying this. And then the same day. It's comes
not nothing.
Out. I mean, how can you not read into that? Like, we're not doing like sports radio narrative stuff here. That is way too much of a coincidence for me. And I heard that clip yesterday, and I was on the radio with Jesse Rubinoff, and I absolutely eviscerated William Nylander to the point where I had to have a chat with Ryan Favreau. Like, I went after him. So we can get into that conversation here now, but there's no question that that was not a coincidence.
No, of course. It's been radio silent from all parties involved all summer long. The first time you hear a peep out of immediate contract, that is not an accident. You read into that whatever you want. If you want to read into that, that's the Leafs kind of forcing Willie's hand. If that's the Leafs trying to reset the narrative of, hey, we have good news, we don't need to talk about Nylander's comments. You look into that however you want, but it's not nothing. They didn't do that because it would just happen to be that they had Matthews' cryptic tweet scheduled to go out at 4:00 or whatever time it was.
Can I say that I think this means Willie's gone.
Gone as in traded or gone as in walks?
Walks.
Yeah.
Like, I get the feeling that Kipper and everybody who said what was going to happen was right. That they were holding on to this contract.
Trying to squeeze him.
until William Nylander, and they're like, you know what? Screw it. This guy ain't signing here long term. Like,
well, it's pretty.
I have a hard time taking this any other way. Well, I really do.
To me, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, the question the Freege asked that I liked is, you know, you want to be a Leaf, but how much does that mean to you? And that's going to be the question that William Nylander is going to have to answer for himself. He's not Auston Matthews, and he had a really, really nice year last year. Mm-hmm. He's not Mitch Marner either.
No.
Okay, he's not. And he is going to sit here, and I genuinely think that he is a guy who does not get flummoxed by these things. I think he's proven that throughout his career, that these things do not bother him. He's going to play the year out, and then he's going to have a decision to make. Mm-hmm. He can go be a Shark for 10-7 or whatever they are going to give him out there.
How we've both gone to Sharks.
Sharks, yeah.
It just feels like he's a Shark.
Buddy, flip-flops to the rink. No one knows who you are. Yeah. Sweet teal jersey.
What a fit he had in that interview yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
What was he wearing? He had, like, these weird pinstripe pants. I'm like, I am way too old to understand this outfit.
Oh, the children.
Remember that conversation we had? Remember that conversation we had about how, like, I have great, like, admiration for just young, cool people with cool outfits. I'm like, what? Imagine I tried to pull in here in that outfit. You would never let me hear the end of it.
I wouldn't.
Actually, it's just like J.D. Bunkus walking in
here. I was going to say, he's got some fits on. Sweatshorts and all types of things going on. But yeah, the Nylander thing, that's just how I look at it now. It is pretty clear as day. Mm-hmm. They obviously, I mean, Treliving, I think it goes without saying, probably kick some tires on, hey, what would you give me for Nylander? What can we do here? Mm-hmm. It's obviously nothing that is going to make the Leafs better for this year or even enough to make them better in years future to even consider it. Nylander's going to play the year out, and he'll have his decision to make. It's going to be go make all the money and get all the term and all the signing bonus. And look, he can get signing bonus and term here. It's not to say he can't have that. There's just going to have to be a conversation about where you fit in. And I think the reason why he's going to be gone is because I don't think he'll be able to stomach, and again, I don't think it's going to be some massive haircut if he stays, but being the only one who takes a haircut, seeing what Matthews gets, seeing what Marner's going to get.
I actually had a really good conversation about this with Donovan Bennett yesterday after we talked about William Nylander for 25 minutes. And apparently Donovan was listening, and he came on and he played the devil's advocate about getting paid and playing in Toronto and the tax situation and all this stuff. It's like, why don't you want to get every dollar? And I get that argument. Like, I really do understand from Willie's perspective, and I don't want to say that I'm, like, completely oblivious to the fact of, like, oh, you know, all these hockey guys, they should take less. They should take less. Like, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
it's the only sport that has a non-fungible cap. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
It's really that simple.
Well, we've had this conversation a million times, Gunner, but this is what sucks about Gary's NHL is that we spend, I wish I could go back in the years we've done shows together, Leafs talks, Real Kipper and Bourne, morning shows,
bringing
everything.
Bringing a new intern. This is going to be their job.
Like, log the minutes, the percentage of time we've spent on contract talks as opposed to on the ice talks. Like, during the playoffs, it's heaven because it's not heaven if you're a Leaf fan.
Yeah.
But, like,
you just talk about the game.
It's like, oh my God, we come on our shows, we talk about hockey. We talk about the guys on the ice as opposed to what they make. Like, they're the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're a $3 billion organization. Why should we care so much about what they make? Because it's the hard cap. And I feel like Auston Matthews is a victim of this. I feel like William Nylander is going to be a victim of this, regardless if he signs or not. It's tough.
Victim of this?
Who?
Me, personally.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, the Leafs should be the Real Madrid of hockey. That's what we've always said. It should be the Real Madrid. They should spend all the money in the world and not have to worry about it. You know, the damn financial fair play. Who cares about that? That's a soccer joke.
Oh, no, I know.
Chelsea got a couple, you know, little wax
for that. Yes. And then, but other people are allowed to, and that's okay. But we're not going to get too into that.
I just
look at us mentioning Santos in Brazil and UEFA fair play rules.
The day I dropped to Matthews signs. It's not even mid-summer anymore.
What's happened to me this summer?
I think William Nylander is going to probably have to take less if he stays here.
That's it.
And I don't think he's going to do it.
I don't think that. And I want to be clear. You know, life isn't about fair. I've learned this. We all have as we grow older. Life isn't about fair.
Certainly not.
It's not fair to Nylander that he has to be the only guy to capitulate and take a haircut. But
he's the third best guy.
That's the thing. He's the third best guy. Okay. You know who else? And we've quibbled about this, but I do think the way money kind of got handed out with the cap going up, I feel free to tell me you feel differently about it. It's like Morgan Riley.
bit of a haircut.
Took the haircut.
And guess what? It's because he wants to be here, and it's because he's a team guy. And guess what? If Nylander doesn't
I believe him when he says it.
Yeah.
When William Nylander sits up there and won't look at anybody, he's like, oh,
Here's what I believe.
I don't believe it.
Given his druthers.
Yeah.
If you just said, hey, Nylander, where'd you like to ply your trade? Where'd you like to live for the next 10 years or 8 years or whatever? He'd say, oh, Toronto. That is the place. Mm-hmm. Okay. Prove it.
Yeah.
Via the contract that you will sign. Oh, well, I don't know how bad I want it compared to this. And that's just, that's a fine place to be in, but it also means that you're not dying to be a Leaf. And that is the thing I've said about Nylander all the time. And I don't mean this as a knock on him. Mm-hmm. He was always the one who it was going to mean the least to. And this isn't even a Swedish thing, even though he's born in Calgary.
Yeah.
Marner's the local guy. Tavares is the captain. Yeah. Matthew's the greatest Leaf of all time.
Yeah.
And Mo, if we're going to lump him in with this too, he's the real captain, okay? He's the heart and soul of the team.
Yeah.
Nylander is always, there are always going to be people who love Nylander and he's their guy. But should the unthinkable happen and the Leafs actually do the thing, mm-hmm. when we talk about the Stanley Cup winning team, he's going to be the fourth or fifth guy mentioned. And because of that, you got to get in line in terms of getting paid, and that's just never going to feel right for him.
No, it's not. And all these guys think they're the best guy in the NHL, right? Like, they're all going with the ultimate swagger. They all think they're as good as the next person. But it's just, Marner has been a $2 million better, $3 million better player than William Nylander throughout the regular seasons, right? And it's just, it's a fact, and he's not been close to Austin Matthews in terms of consistency and production and everything. Like, does Austin Matthews have the most 5-on-5 goals still?
Somebody tweeted out it was absurd. He has the most 5-on-5 goals by 30.
You should be making $4 million less than that guy, right? Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you should be making just over $9 million. You're in the $9 million range. But, like, if I had to choose who I'm giving 8 years to.
Yeah.
I would much rather give it to Austin Matthews than William Nylander. Like, if they're thinking 8 years for William Nylander, that's something that would scare me.
Okay, so I did want to bring this up. I want to be very, very clear about this. Mm. I am not in the camp of buying this argument.
Okay.
But I want to put it out in the ether to see if you believe it as well.
Let me have it.
I've seen some quibbles or theories of, are the Leafs actually better off that it's a 4-year deal because of the injury history? This is a guy who routinely misses 10 to 12 games a year.
I'll hear that.
Yeah.
Borney was talking about that a little bit on
your emergency pod, which everyone should go listen to.
He mentioned that a bit. And I thought it's a good point that.
But then the number should be 12-6.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, it's like you shouldn't get to be the highest paid guy in the league plus get the term.
That's exactly where I fall on it.
And. Yeah, I do worry about his injury stuff because it's been every year.
Every year.
Every year he's missed some time. You know, he's had
wrist
surgery.
And even the years he hasn't missed it, he's played through long, long stretches where we just all say he's hurt and no one ever tells us that, but we just assume it because he doesn't look right. Yeah, exactly. And then he took his, 3 weeks off or 2 weeks off around the All-Star break, and then we thought he was going to get back to being right, and then he kind of was banged up again.
He's played... It's crazy the production he's had.
Imagine this guy played 82 games.
I pulled up his Hockey DB. He's played since his rookie season, where he played all 82 and scored 40. He has 62 games played, 68, 70, 52, 73, 74.
So 73 was the 60 goal year.
Yeah. 63 goals and 70. 60 goals and 73 games.
60 goals and 73 games.
So,
nuts.
The last thing I want to say on just Nylander, I just want to put a ball on it. And because it just drove me nuts, and I'm still mad about it.
Okay.
What's the big deal? Like, come on. Come on. What's the big deal? Give me a break.
Hey,
what do you think this is, Phoenix?
Well, here's the thing I'll say to
come
that.
On. He's what's not... the big deal? That's such a... If you're a Leaf fan, you're like, what's the big deal?
Of course.
Oh, what's the big deal? I'll tell you what the big deal is.
If that type of stuff, the nonchalant, the chill answers, however you do it, is going to drive you up the wall, then you should just ask for him to get traded right now, and you should pray he never signs for the team, because that stuff is never, ever changing. And I honestly do believe that it is what allows him to play in a market like Toronto. I mean, we've talked about it with Marner. You can see it on his face at times. It wears on him. Being a Leaf, the pressure, all that stuff. Nylander's on the exact opposite side of things.
Marner talks to the media.
Yeah.
Nylander does it like twice a year.
I don't. Does he? You cut more Lease Audio than I do. I feel like he talks a lot.
Not a ton.
Okay.
Not compared to the other three.
Okay.
Not even close.
That's fair.
Not even close.
I wonder how much of that, and you know, I don't know these things. Luke would have a better idea. I wonder how much of that is guys asking for him because he just doesn't say anything.
Well, I think. Well, from my experience, it's not an ask situation.
Yeah.
It's the Leafs PR.
Put them out.
They probably put names on the board before the game, and that's everyone's goes, oh, crap. And that's, I think William maybe will talk if he scores. Or he does talk, don't get me wrong, but like compared to the other guys, it's not even close. And he's going to go into training camp without a contract.
Yep.
The circus is going to come to town with the lions and tigers and the popcorn and the cotton candy. He's going to say this stuff again.
I've been debating going to the circus with my family, just FYI.
Have you been to a circus?
Not since I was like a child.
Oh, yeah, same with me. Are they still like kosher? Are you still allowed to do those?
Remember when we were at Lakeview and there was like the huge circus tent
set up? But like, do they still bring in like tigers?
I don't think the animals are a thing anymore. Yeah. I think it's just like, here's a dude.
Because
he's going to fly across the air.
Thinking back to like when I was at Owen Sound, when I was like a little kid, there's like lions and tigers.
Oh, I know.
Like, those
poor animals. Elephants crushing around in London, Ontario.
Did that happen?
Wild.
I'm thinking if that was a fever dream or not.
No,
did that happen?
That really happened.
Okay.
Then I remember we went to KFC after and got a Shaq basketball. It was sick.
Wow, what a day. That is an incredible day. So.
It's the second best day of my life after Austin Matthews signed his contract yesterday.
So we're going to take a break here soon.
Yep.
But please text in 595.
Text line is back.
It's back. I was terrified there for a little bit.
Would have been a rough day for the text line to be down.
Text us your thoughts, your takes, your questions, anything about the Austin Matthews contract. We'll read them in the next segment. We'll read them during the show, throughout the show. Maybe talk some Jays.
Yeah, we should talk some Jays next. We should. I know. Hey. You can't just talk about them when it's fun.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
It hasn't been fun.
No, I know.
So if we did that, there'd be no airtime this summer. We'd just be in CBS Sports Radio talking about the depth chart of Alabama football. If we were talking about only when it's fun. Because it's not fun. It's horrible. One step forward, six steps back. That should be the key of this team.
So, good pitching, though.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, Jesse Rubinoff looked at it yesterday. They would be the first team with the best ERA in all of baseball to miss the playoffs since the 2012 Rays.
Great.
Yeah. And the Rays have no, they probably were spending $45 on their lineup.
I think so.
And the Jays are not.
$6, a pack of gum, and whatever it was they paid Evan Longoria that year is basically how that team was put together.
So to put a bow on the Austin Matthews thing before we go.
Yes.
And we'll talk about it more. It's not like we're tying the bow. But our two thoughts are, Gunner, What's your grade for it?
Mm-hmm. It's a B.
Okay, I said B plus yesterday. So.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna go B plus, but then I thought I should like it a little more if I'm gonna throw the plus in there.
Yeah,
Austin Matthews is signed under contract. It's not a 3-year deal. They got one more than that. We should be very happy about all that. If this deal is for 12-6, we're throwing a parade for Tree.
Oh my good lord, yes.
And I think we should keep all that in perspective. That it is. $600,000 we're sitting here feeling is a math, or I guess a little more, 750 is there 750, but you understand what I'm saying. It's not even $1 million that we're sitting here quibbling about for a guy who is Hart Trophy level, 60 goal guy, all that. So
Hey, actually, now that we've kind of had this conversation, do you feel as though this is like the offseason complete now? Because I kind of do.
Yeah, that's the everything we heard. If we hadn't had the Nylander tidbit yesterday, and I assume if we hadn't had that, we wouldn't have the Matthews contract.
Honestly.
So, but if we wouldn't have had the Nylander tidbit, I would say, mostly. There's still a chance something trickles through with
PTOs.
Willie a little. Oh, we'll get that. Yeah. Like the Zach Aston Reese. By the way, did you see former Leaf who signed a PTO yesterday with the Avs?
No.
Peter Holland. He's like selling Bitcoin and stuff. But yeah, he signed a PTO with the Avs. He's going to camp.
Pardon me? Wasn't he on the radio like last week?
He was on the radio.
Am I going to get a PTO?
You are not. I can confirm. Although, if they see you go backhand Chad, I don't know, maybe a little UC Jokinen shootout specialist. They should be able to do that. You should be like the 19th skater. Shootout specialist only. Oh, they bring in the gangly Gus from Owen Sound.
And the goalie's just like bonk out.
Yeah, get out of here. He just spears you. Yeah. Okay, keep the text coming. 590-590. We would like your grades for the Matthews contract. And is this now a bow on the Leafs offseason? The Blue Jays, rough one in Baltimore last night. We will get into it. More on Matthews, more on the Leafs, and more of us on the Fan Morning Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Yeah, Matthews got a ton of it yesterday.
It's a lot better song than the first one.
Do you like that?
Oh, yeah, we can't talk about this.
No, you can. It's just like people on the podcast just get confused.
It's Money by Pink Floyd.
Money. There you go. Sam McKee, Brent Gunning here with you. I didn't even check in. I usually like to do a little mental health check on you, but you're so spry before the show. I didn't need to worry about you today.
Yeah.
You're just so alert and aware.
Yeah. I mean, listen, when you're doing the morning show for 2 days, it's really easy to convince yourself to get out of bed.
Yeah. It's the like third day would be a breaker. Or
no, it's when you're like looking ahead. Five is like a five. It's like, holy hell, I can't do this. But 2 days, I can get through that. And I couldn't get to sleep last night. The tough thing.
I was shocked. You sent us a text at 10 p.m. last night. I was floored.
A little inside the business here. Yeah. For anyone who's worked mornings or whatever, they probably know this. People listening right now are working mornings.
Yeah, they like to go to bed.
Yeah, but when you've been doing like afternoons, like I've been going to bed at like 11:30, 12. Yep. And then to like switch over and be like, it's 7 p.m. bedtime. Well, I got to watch the Jays. But like 9 o'clock bedtime.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't work.
No.
So I watched a little episode of The Bear, Yes, Chef, and then went to bed.
There you go.
I was asleep by like midnight.
I've been, speaking of The Bear, mm-hmm. I never watched Shameless. So I've just been getting around to that now. And I was just very shocked to see Buddy. I was like, oh, look at that.
How much have you watched of it?
I'm like basically done the first season, more or less. It's fine. It's just a lot going on.
Yeah, it's like the same. Like, it's like, I don't know however many seasons there are. But like
I think 11 somehow.
Okay, so I stopped after 3.
Yeah,
because it's the same thing every season.
Yeah, it's so like, this.
Oh my
is,
god! Big problem. Result.
Yeah.
Oh my god! Big problem. Result.
Yeah.
So there you go. A
lot of shows.
Sorry for the spoiler.
Could be said for a lot of shows. Oh, a spoiler that on a TV show they maybe figure things out and allow things to continue.
Sometimes they don't on that show. It gets a little dark too.
It's
a good show.
It is. I've enjoyed it. Yeah. All right, it's TV talk with Gunning and McKee. Yeah. You want to talk about what we watched on TV last night?
I did something I haven't done.
Not The Bear. I did something
I haven't done in a long time.
What'd you do?
I turned off the TV in frustration.
Richards got you, eh?
No. Oh. I stuck through Richards.
Oh, good for you. I figured that would have been. The Santander, Dan's like, I think he was actually telling the story about what, or he was telling a story about something, and then Santander just socked that ball to the moon in the middle of it.
Yeah, and the other one he hit was like off his shoes.
Yeah.
God, he's a good hitter.
Yes.
He really strikes fear in me. Like, he's a sneaky guy that you wouldn't think of as, like, a killer.
When you're ripping off, like, O's that scare you, Mountcastle, Henderson, Rutschman.
He should be right there. He's really good. I don't know what his numbers are against the Jays. I can pull that up. But he's been really good against the Jays over his career, it feels like. But Danny Jansen airmails that throw into center field. I played really competitive softball.
Yeah.
You know, really at Swansea Park. It's just, it's high. You know what I would have been yelling? Eat it. Eat it, Danny. That's an absurd play.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing? Like, you had no chance of getting him. He's actually made a couple mistakes recently where he's been bouncing it. He's been sailing it. Like, I don't like that. But that sent me to the bedroom to watch The Bear. I was like, I can't do this. I am pissed off. This is upsetting me. I look at my phone. I see that they went down 7-0 so that Bautista doesn't have to come into the game, which is a huge issue. So now he's rested. That mutant's ready to come into the game tonight or when they play this afternoon or tonight.
I think tonight.
Okay. So the bats, man.
That's it.
It's still the bats. It was always the bats.
Five hits.
And listen, I know Dylan Kramer's a decent pitcher.
Dean.
What did I say?
Dylan.
Who's Dylan Kramer? Is Dylan Kramer a guy?
I'm thinking of whatever that Dylan guy's name was on that season of Curb, Your Enthusiasm, where Larry David's like at his rock concert and it's too loud. That's the Dylan that's jumping out to me. But yes, no, Dean Kramer. Because I said he sounds like a guy in the Rat Pack.
And the most frustrating thing is that I grinded through that stupid Sox afternoon game with the Mariners, where they blow it in the ninth inning, and then they come back and win in the 10th. I watch the stupid White Sox who suck. I watch this game, and I'm like, yes, I'm dealing with Austin Matthews follow-up thing. I'm like, oh my god, Austin. Anyways, watch the game. I'm like, huge chance for the Jays here.
Massive.
I don't know. It's August, but you got to win. Well, like there's
30 some odd games left. That's it.
And you have a chance to tie them. You just got to win this game. Jack Flaherty gets scratched from his start. Dean Kramer goes, who has a 4.31 ERA this year. And I know, ERA, I don't know if that's allowed anymore. Just go out there and hit him around a little bit. Score some runs. Again, Gausman, who didn't have his best stuff, absolutely grinds through that start. Gives you six innings. I forget how many he struck out. Only gives up two runs. He's got traffic on the base pass the whole game. A couple monster Ks with nasty
splitters.
The
second and third,
Like, he was really, really good with not his best stuff. You score nothing for the guy again.
Nothing.
What, do they hate his guts?
Honestly.
What, like, is there a guy in the league that has a worse run support than him? It feels like every game he goes out there, he just doesn't get any run support. He's grinded through this game. Trevor Richards, listen, the bullpen was so elite the night before.
Yeah.
Bullpen guys give up runs, it whatever. Happens. It balloons. You're not going to score many games where you score zero runs.
Well, and the other part of it,
how many times have been shut out? Well,
the other part of it with Richards is just that, given the way the pen was taxed the other night before, he was going to wear that for a bit. Okay, you weren't going to bring in another arm there, especially when the game was already at the score that it was. It's the bats. It's the bats. It's the bats. And you know, this is a tale as old as starting or as old as pitching in baseball. We've seen this before, where teams, even with good offenses, will have their ace on the mound. And I don't know if it's a psychological thing. I don't know what it is, but it's, okay, well, we can put our feet up a little today. We only need to scratch across one or two. It feels like we see this actually pretty commonly in baseball with aces who don't get a ton of run support. But it is at a complete other level with Gosman. And I want to, I don't want to leave the bats, but I just want to mention one other thing about him. Sorry, go ahead.
I went to Sportsnet Stats to see exactly what I wanted to find. Blue Jays' Kevin Gausman owns the MLB's lowest run support average this season, 3.23 runs.
Be better.
And the lowest run support average in a non-shortened season for the Blue Jays' history. Woody Williams, number one. Old Woodsy, 3.19. Kevin Gausman, second, 3.23. Jerry Garvin, 3.27. Dave Steeb, 3.45. And Tom Underwood, 3.49. So he is, right now, the amount of run support he's getting is the second worst in the history of the team.
That's brutal. The one thing I did want to pick up on what you said about him before getting back to the bats was that's what an ace looks like when it's not their A-plus day, when they're scuffling, when they're fighting and they're finding a way. That's why Kevin Gausman gets paid what he gets paid. Obviously, the days where he's nails and, you know, he has his 12K game earlier this year and all that, you love that about him. But that is what truly makes that guy an ace. And I sometimes think that, you know, I was the first guy to say this. He had his little hiccup after the All-Star break and Barrios was coming on and Kikuchi was coming on. That's the difference between those two guys and that guy, is that even when he doesn't have it, he could still find a way. Because, yeah, second inning, had the bases loaded. I'm pretty sure there was traffic again in the third, and I understand it's not great that there's traffic. I'm not absolving him of that, but it's finding a way to get out of it. In terms of the bats, it is infuriating that we have to have this conversation 4 days a week, 5 days a week. And honestly,
even when they win,
it's hey, the pen was great and Gausman was nails or whoever was on the mound and you got a few timely hits. We had the one cathartic day, a belt hit and a bomb and extras. And then Vladdy had his 3-hit day and you're like, great, they can build
sweet,
on it.
Sweet. Was that Tuesday?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet, sweet Tuesday night. What a night that was. Yeah. Oh,
don't get used to it. Don't get used to it, because this is what this team does. They have a day where they look great. And you say, ah, there it is. There's the blueprint. Farsho is going yard and belts providing support and Vladdy's doing his thing. And then you muster five the next day against a fine starting pitcher. But we have spent so much time talking about this Blue Jays team where we mention the other team's starting pitcher as though they're Sandy Koufax when they are in fact not. We talk every day. We come on here and say, well, you know, Kramer was great. You got to tip your cap. No, you do not. You know what? You know who's supposed to be great? Well, he is great, Bo Bichette. But George Springer and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Alejandro Kirk and go up and down the line.
Kirk is in the freezer.
Yeah. Can't do anything.
No.
Well, they pinch hit Gavin for him at the end of the game, and he almost went yard there.
That was close.
It was really close.
Blue Jays are shut out.
Cedric Mullins looked very cool doing that, by the way. It was very nonchalant.
Cedric Mullins is a cool-looking baseball player.
Very cool.
He's a glider. Yes. Glides around.
That's great.
Blue Jays are shut out for the 8th time. Since June 19th.
Oh, my God.
The most in the major leagues of baseball. The 8 shutout losses in their last 54 games are equal their total for all of 2022.
Man, that's brutal.
It's a problem. And, like, I want to sit here and kill the front office for their only deadline addition being Paul DeJong, who, by the way...
Yeah. Had two knocks, including a bomb yesterday.
4 RBIs. That must be a different guy.
I
honestly can't.
Well, no. You know what it is?
NL.
Yeah, playing an out circuit. Weak senior circuit.
But it's like, there's a the, he body snatched. He didn't. Yeah. He never came here. It was he said, that chick on the plane.
No, you know what it's like.
That guy is not real.
You know what it's like. I've seen these stories out of like Asia where people will just pay other people to do their prison sentence for him. Yes. Paul DeYoung said, "I'm not going to Canada." Pete DeYoung, why don't you go up there?
And he was awful. Like, what was he, 3 for 44? Whatever. Yeah. The Jays, like, he was downright horrible. Yeah. And he goes there. But like, I want to kill the front office for that being their only addition. And boy, it would have been nice to take Teo away from the Mariners.
Yep.
But like, the guys who are supposed to be good just got to be good.
That's it. Because that's why I kept coming back.
Kirk is awful at the dish right now. Like, there is no threat. I have when you're watching Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Mm-hmm.
in the middle of the lineup, where I know he had 3 hits or whatever, but like, do you ever believe?
He slapped 2 singles, then he hit a double after Belt hit the bomb to win the game.
Yes.
Let's talk about that, really, because that's what happened.
Do you have a belief that something's going to happen when he comes up to the plate?
No.
It sucks. It sucks that the guy that you're supposed to be your Miguel Cabrera-type prospect that everyone said, that you have zero hope. It's a bonus for me when he gets a knock. When he comes up in a big spot, I never believe. And that breaks my heart, Gunner. It really does, because I had so much hope for this guy. And Bo Bichette, clearly you have hope. Whit Merrifield, great hitter at the top of the lineup. You know, Belt's been excellent.
He really has.
It's crazy how good he's been since. Like, having an OPS over 800 after the way he started is remarkable.
I
want to kill the front office for not making an addition.
Mm-hmm.
But look at the pitching staff they built.
Yeah.
If these guys were, you know, a half better than they usually have been this year, this team is comfortably in a playoff spot. If they had one big knock all year, they'd be comfortably in a playoff spot. It's just they have not performed in the biggest spots for the Jays, and they have these big moments where it's like, this is where it gets rolling, and you come back the next night, you get 5 hits, you get shut out, and you're right back where you started. It's just, like I said, 1 step forward, 6 steps back every time with this team. It's really, really frustrating. I can't remember a more frustrating team. You know, everyone talks about 2016. Mm-hmm. This is way more annoying than 2016.
Yeah,
way more. Because their pitching wasn't close to this good in 2016.
I look at, when we go back to the conversations about the deadline, the only bat, and I want to be clear, you know, if you could have got a game-changing bat, you go out and get it. But the only one that really made sense for me to get was Teo. Because you were banking on the voodoo flipping or the switch flipping or an awakening to last year or something along those lines. That was why it was the only one who made sense to me, because you didn't need to just trade for one more bat to put in your lineup. You weren't one bat away. The team's got shut out 9 times since the middle of July, or whatever the stat was that you gave me.
Yeah.
8 times since the middle of July. That doesn't change because of one bat. But if you would have been able to have got a Teo, and that would have put a little life into Vladdy. And look, that's all pixie dust and magic, and who knows if that would have happened. Probably almost certainly wouldn't have. So that's why I think when you look at it, that was the only one that made sense. Because let's just say they go out and get a solid 5-hitter, whatever that means to you. You can kind of picture that guy.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't change the lineup. They've had Dalton Varsho be that for the last little bit. He has kind of supplanted himself or pushed himself to a point where he says, yeah, I am an upper half of the lineup guy. Guess what? Hasn't changed the world. It's been really nice to see from him, but it hasn't changed the complexion of this lineup. So, yeah, frustrating.
Sorry to pile on Kirk, but I'm going to.
You don't have to apologize to me.
In his last 15 games, he has he's hitting 184, on-base percentage of 273, and his slugging percentage is 204. He has 0 home runs over that time. He has 5 walks. He only has 4 strikeouts, 3 runs. So he's just hitting the ball to the outfielder or just bouncing out.
Yep.
It's like there's no sting in his bat. What happened to him? Because everybody, like, he was the guy that you could depend on hitting. All he does is hit, right? Like, he was that guy that came up and he just put the ball in play, and now he just has no sting in his bat. He can't drive the ball anymore. He's 150. His last 7 games, his last 26 at-bats, he has 3 hits, Gunner.
I'm not sitting here, well, I guess I am about to take my victory lap. I was saying they should have sold high, and I understand at the time, but I'm not even saying, obviously not at last year's All-Star break, but I thought this was a guy who kind of showed what he was in the back half of last season, and he's shown it through the bulk of this year. His bat-to-ball skills will always give people some belief that the BABIP will kind of work itself out and the balls in play will start to eventually touch some grass. And yeah. I understand that. Sample sizes are a thing. We get all that. But the sting is gone. I'd love to see what the kind of exit velo is this year versus last year, the barrel rate, all that stuff.
How do you find those things that people tweet out? The baseball's
I can find out what it is this year if you ask me to compare it. Last year, I got nothing for
Everyone's
you.
Everyone's like, oh, look at my baseball savant page.
Maybe I'll do some homework for that, and I'll have I'll have an answer.
Danielle to do it. He puts together this incredible lineup. He can figure it out.
Well, he already put wrote us a novel for the show this morning.
This guy put pictures of the Instagrams Mitch Marner.
No, see, this is too much. I don't need to be angered in that way. I don't need to see the rock on emoji or whatever we're calling that.
We're about to talk to Marner with our next guest.
Oh, I know we are. I know. Nick Kiprios coming in to tell us what a great haircut Austin Matthews took. It wasn't the 13.5 that Kipper told us it was going to be. What a great deal. Kind of sarcastic about that. I think you can all tell. First hour in the books. Matthews is still a Leaf, and Kipper's coming up next. The Fan Morning Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.